realize you have an adversary, right? So we talked about where did the devil come from? Perhaps the most beautiful angelic or cherub being God, and let me say this, God and Jesus ever created, because Jesus was by God's side when everything was created. Amen. He is part of the Godhead. He didn't appear like I don't know how God appeared, how it works that he's always been, because I live in this world which is based upon time. Can you don't mind, Sean, a little bit? I fear a little something going on. Thank you, brother. I don't know about that. I just know that Jesus Christ, amen, has been by the Father's side since the beginning. He was there when he created the heavens and the earth. Amen, Jesus. And so Satan is not the brother of Jesus. He is not a God. He is not deity. He's not God. He was a created being who was created in perfection, who fell away, who decided by pride that he wanted to elevate himself above God, kind of like what we see the spirit of this world today, amen, which we'll talk a little bit. So knowing him, that he was the most beautiful creature perhaps ever made. And then you go on, if you were to read, and just going to quote this real quick, if you were to go to Revelation, if you're taking notes, or Revelation chapter 12, many believe that this scripture says that then another sign appeared. you don't have this maybe, John, so don't worry about it. It's not what I'm reading right now, my dear brother. So it says, then another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head were 7 crowns, and his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and hurled them to the earth. So many theologians and so forth think that when Satan rebelled, that he took a third of the angels, angelic beings with him, who would now be called principalities and powers and demons and so forth, that we're dealing with it. That there was a certain segment, a third of heaven angelic beings who rebelled with Satan and said, hey, we're going to follow you. And they didn't get to stay in heaven. They were cast out of heaven. Cast to the earth. They did not get to stay in their heavenly, in heaven everything is perfect, righteous, holy. There is no darkness, amen, in heaven. It's nothing like earth here, amen. When you and I, amen, get our new bodies and we're with Christ Jesus, when we draw our last breath or he comes again, hallelujah, we're going to get a new body. Did you know that? All the things that we struggle with on earth, we're not going to struggle with anymore, amen. Everything will be like it was from the beginning when he made this earth, and when he made Adam and Eve before they fell away, everything was perfect. I don't care what we face in this life, and I know God has made us, he's made us overcomers, but we face things in our lives. Someday that will not happen any longer. Amen? And you know how short life is if you've gotten a little bit, like if you're like me in your prime, amen? If you're like me in your prime, you start realizing how quickly life goes by, amen? What's the word of God saying, James? You're like a vapor. Yeah, can you see that in your mind? You ever boiled water, you see the vapor come up, and it's not there very long. So our lifespan compared to eternity truly is a vapor, amen? And while we walk on this earth, we do have an adversary that we're talking about. So these things that we're talking about, this, because saying, hey, where did Satan come from? From the Word of God, we believe he used to be, last week I'd mentioned, lead worship in heaven. Could you imagine that? Out of him, pipes and instruments, out of his throat. Could you imagine that? We talked about how powerful music is. I talked about in that message about music and the impact that music can still have on society. And how about worship? Because, hey, you think when Satan left it, all of a sudden God said, hey, I've got an opening for a worship leader? No. All the throngs of heaven are still worshiping and praising him and exalting him. Amen. Just like the throngs on this earth who believe in Jesus Christ, as we even came together today, we were worshiping. Our worship was going up to heaven, worshiping. We may not have seen it, but we know by the Spirit, man, we know by the Word of God and the things that we read, that our worship, like incense going up to heaven, being received, and God taking a deep breath and saying, I receive that worship for my children. It pleased him that we would worship him. As Gina was saying today, as we're worshiping, we don't know the things that are happening in the spiritual realm of God bringing victory in areas of our life. We also read about that in the Bible, different times in the Old Testament where they would begin to worship and God would rout the enemy. Today, as we worship, did you know there might have been areas in your life or that God moving in areas where the enemy was beginning to rout because you decided to worship him instead of feel sorry for yourself or remain in your own emotional struggles and say, no, I am going to worship and praise him, and spiritual things begin to happen. Because let me say it this way. You are a spiritual being, clothed in a body that, thank God, I'm not going to be clothed with forever. Amen. As time goes on, as I get older, there's a groaning, even says, Paul talks about, we have this groaning that we would be clothed. Amen. The last thing that's going to be defeated is death. We're going to talk about how the enemy is already a defeated foe, but we have this body. It's not defeated. Amen. I do grow old. Amen. I'm not quite as fast when I run the 100-yard dash as when I was 20 years old. You know, when I was about 45, I've told this story before, the founding pastor had two sons, I said, hey, let's have a foot race. I said, because I think I can keep up with you guys. I really do. I said, I'm pretty fast, right? You know, I may have been 43 or 44, and they're like, you know, 16, 17, I don't remember. And so we went, it was right behind the church here, and I said, all ready, set, go. And we took off, and as they took off, all of a sudden, as I was running with all my might, it felt like I was running in slow motion. My mind says, you could still run that 100-yard dash like you were when you were 20, 25, or even 30, amen? But as these guys began to just leave me in the dust, I realized then that I wasn't, my body has changed. Even though I believe in God's health, divine health, and those things, my body's still growing older. What did Paul say? Hey, even though the outside is decaying, the inner man is being renewed day by day. Amen. So my inner man's being renewed day by day. So when I got up this morning, even though I might still be in my 50s, I felt great. Amen. I felt blessed. I felt highly favored. I knew he was with me, and I wasn't thinking of my age because my inner man is being renewed day by day. That's exciting. Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So number one, point one. Satan has a structure, an army, a family, if so be. Did you know that? If a fallen man, so an army and fallen, so we have fallen, these fallen spirits, right? Devils, principalities, and powers. We have these two different families. Did you know we have the Adams family? Did you know? Do you have that? Can you show this slide? Did you know that portrait? Did you know that everybody is born under Adam? You're part of the Adams family when you're born. Everybody born is part of the Adams family. I'm sorry. That's your portrait in the spirit when you were born. That's your portrait. Well, I'm going to talk about it. I've been born again. I'm not part of the Adams family anymore. I'm part of the second Adam that came and gave his life and did it perfectly. Amen. Thank you, John. But everybody is born under the first Adam. Did you know that? That offends people. I've said it over and over again. You were born behind the eight ball. You were born needing a Savior. You were born under Adam's family. And then Jesus Christ being the second Adam, amen. That's why he said in John 3, you must be born again, amen. You were born headed for death. I don't care what type of life you have. I don't care what you obtain. I don't care how awesome you are. You're still part of the Adam's family that's either going to heaven or hell, and amen. And Jesus Christ, it said he became the second Adam who did it perfectly, who didn't fail, who wasn't deceived, who didn't take a bite of the apple, so to speak. He did it perfectly, overcoming every shifty thing that the enemy brought against him, overcome everything that mankind and religion tried to bring against him, and he performed it perfectly. And then he said, I am the sacrifice for all the sins of the world. Now you can be born again. You can have my righteousness, my spirit will live in you, and now you can be part of the second Adam's family, amen? You come out of the first Adam's family, and you become part of the second Adam's family, and that is amazing and awesome, and that is the foundation of Christianity, that he is my righteousness, that I've come out of darkness, the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of light, amen? And he's been stripped of his authority, as we'll get into that. Isn't that good news? I can't help but get excited. If you've lived in darkness and come into this marvelous light, you can't help but get excited. Amen? If the lives of the enemy have been stripped off of your life, those lives have been peeled off as you realize who you are in him, what he's done for you, that your past is behind you, he's washed all your sins away. Amen? You can't help but get a little giddy regardless of your age. You can be giddy in Christ in your 80s. Did you know that? You can be giddy in Christ in your teenage years and everything in between him, because we are now of the second Adam, Jesus Christ. Amen. I am no longer of the first family. In the spirit, I no longer look like the Adam's family. His righteousness and purity being mine. And because of that, as we go on, because of what he's done for me, I have this desire by the Holy Spirit that everything on the outside that I still have in my renewing my in my mind, amen, it says renew your mind in Romans 12. I want everything on the outside to look like what he's done on the inside. And how long does that take? It takes a vapor length of life to keep pursuing him. Amen? Amen. See, God, through his Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, he'll give you this desire to say, because you know his love for you, how much he's done for you, how precious you are in his sight, how dearly loved you are. Then you have this desire that, hey, I want to look just like my dad. I want to be just like my dad. I want to be just like him. He's my hero. When you have a good relationship, well, there's a good relationship between a child and a parent, amen? What's that thing? It's, I want to be just like dad. Isn't that true? So what God has done in you and I, it gives us this heart's desire. I said, man, I want to be like dad. I want to treat my wife or my spouse or my friends, my coworkers like Jesus would treat them. You begin to have these brand new desires from that brand new spirit that you have inside of you being the new Adam. Amen. And you're handsome in the new Adam's family through Christ. You're handsome. Your portrait doesn't look like that at all. Your fleshly portrait may not be what you think it should look like, but your inner man is squeaky clean and looks just like Christ. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. You say, but you don't understand. I still have these struggles with the old thing on your flesh. Well, understand this, that through what God has done in you, dying to those things, death to those things, it's the renewing of this thing between the ears. Amen? And like I say, it takes a lifetime to do that. So Satan has a structure, an army, a family of fallen spirits and mankind. He has this army, maybe and many times an unknown army of people who are blind. Satan doesn't care. We talked about it last week. He doesn't care if you believe in him or not. If he can buffalo you that there's no God at all, he has won the battle. It's called deception. So it doesn't matter if you worship him or not. He realizes when you are worshiping your own self and God, your God is yourself about what you accomplish or what you do on earth. We don't even realize it, but we are worshiping Satan because that's what got him thrown out of heaven, saying, I want to be like God. I want to accomplish anything that my heart wants. I'm not going to submit to God. So therefore, he was cast out of heaven. Let me just read this, Romans 7 through 9 in the ESV. It says, now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was, what does it say? Defeated. And there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. Can you say world? I just want to make sure you're awake. The deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Amen? So what's the power? We're talking about his deceiver. So he is deceiver of all mankind. And so the devil has an army. He has fallen angels. His demon army on the earth and in the atmosphere. Talk a little bit about that. Satan has a kingdom structure. right? Focus. What's his focus? Focused 100% on deceiving the nations of the earth. What did it say in verse 9 again? The deceiver of the whole world. That's a lot of influence, huh? Satan has a, who's still the little g, the, see, when Adam and Eve, when they sinned and took of that and disobeyed God, they allowed sin into mankind, into now the world. Now God submitted the world to a curse. It says, curse, it'll be the ground. So he's the one that cursed the ground. But what it did is man gave up his perfect position of authority with God, and now he knew the difference between good and evil. But the problem now is he had this flesh that says, I want to do evil. I want to do things my way. Did it take long? How didn't take long until we had the first murder. Remember the first murder of Adam and Eve's children, their sons, Cain and Abel. So we had Cain murder Abel. So it didn't take long to realize that they'd given up their position, their perfect position with God, and allow sin into their lives. So from that point, that's where we're talking about that Adam's family. From that point, every individual born was not perfect at all. Every person born now was born under sin, under the curse of sin. Amen. So he had this name, and so Satan has this kingdom army structure. Let me just talk. So number one being, if you're right, Satan has a structure, an army, a family, if you so much want to say. And number two, principalities and powers. So let's talk about these principalities and powers. You guys have heard of principalities and powers, haven't you? Now you're walking, going about your day. You could be doing a plumbing repair. You could be doing whatever. You could be playing pinochle. Doesn't matter. You could be doing whatever. But there's principalities and powers of the enemy always in activity around us, even when we're about our business. Let me just say that's okay. As we'll talk about that, that's okay. But know that this enemy fortress, this enemy who lies to and deceive the nations, is principalities and powers. Let me go to Daniel 10 with me. Go to Daniel 10 as we talk about principalities and powers. You guys hanging with me? Are you there? Are you still awake? Let's keep you awake for a little bit. So book of Daniel in the old covenant, what's it say here? It says, but the prince, so this, let me just stop here. Daniel had prayed. He had this vision, and it kind of troubled him. And he said, I don't know what this means. It troubled him so much that he was praying that, Lord, what's this mean? Because it's troubling me. Well, he'd been praying, so let's pick it up now. But so this angel comes. This angel arrives. He arrives and says, hey, I'm here. And this is what he says. He says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia was standing in my way for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, remember the Michael the archangel, Michael, one of the chief princes for God, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. But he was fighting in the heavens. He was fighting against these principality. He says, I was sent to give you instructions about this dream, but I was fighting against principalities and powers. They delayed me for 3 weeks. They delayed me for 3 weeks, but know that I was sent the day that you had this vision. Came to help you, for I have been left there with the kings of Persia. Verse 14. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the latter days, because the vision pertains to the days still future. So what I'm saying is they had this principalities and powers. Let me just say this, we'll continue. There's principalities and powers over different areas of the earth and nations. That's part of Satan's kingdom. And it's not to scare you, just be aware that we'll talk about how the enemy actually has been disarmed. We'll get there. But we have these principalities and powers. So when he talks about this prince, the prince of the kingdom of Persia, it's this demonic foe that is running running Satan's kingdom for this specific area within the earth. Does that make sense? Let me continue on. Daniel 10:20. Then he said, do you understand why I came to you? But I shall not return to fight against the... He says, but I shall now return to fight against the prince of Persia, Amen. So I'm leaving. Behold, the prince of Greece is about to come. So now he's going to be fighting against another principality over Greece. So these principalities and powers. Did you know there's principalities and powers? We're talking about over the United States of America. These principalities and powers come out this way. Let me just show you, but you think about how they come out. There's no difference between boys and girls. Do what you want. You want to transition? I'm just saying the different things. Do what you want. You live any type of lifestyle you want. God doesn't care. Oh, the Word of God, that's ancient. That's not really for today. You can pick and choose what you want out of it. What is the job of these principalities and powers? Let's go back to what it said. It's to deceive the nation. To deceive them. How are we might deceive you? To deceive people. He deceives people like this. The things that you see going on in the earth that are bad, that's God. If there was a God, why would that be happening? By the way, that is the work of Satan. That's the work of Satan, amen? That's the work of Satan. And he wants to convince people that's God's character. So when you think about these principalities and powers over different nations, you got principality over China, a principality and power. What would be the prince of China as an example? What's he want to make sure of? Well, I want to make sure in China as an example that it's a law that nobody can hold church. That nobody, I don't want that God, that principality saying, I don't want anybody to hear the gospel because that's the power of the gospel. So these principalities and powers over areas are to deceive the nations. And so this is how it works. As you have people that do this, this is how a power and a principality becomes stronger over a geographical area. It's less and less people standing up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's more and more people being deceived. It's more and more people saying, nah, I'm opposed to that. That's how that, because that his influence, that principality or power's influence grows over that geographical area to deceive people. Doesn't care how, like I said, but he wants to deceive people and to believe that God's not real or that God's something that he's not. And then the next thing he does, if you're a believer, I'm going to say it now, we'll probably get into it a little bit more, if he can convince you that God is something that he's not. So he said, okay, you're born again. I can't have your soul. You're going to heaven, but he'll say things like that. Yeah, but God only likes you a little bit. He just likes you just enough to let you into heaven, but he doesn't really care for you. So when you have prayers, maybe he's interested in answering, but maybe not, because he only likes you so much. He's putting up with you. So what he does with the believer, these principalities and liars through media, through your friends, through your own thought process, through your TV, through any voice he can, that's what it is, that he can convince you that God may allow you in heaven, but he's not willing to heal you. He's certainly not going to bless your finances. Look at you, you're a mess. Look what you've done in the past. Look what's happened. Yeah, you may be saved, but he'll never really truly forgive you of this or that. See, these are things where he deceives the nations. And if he's got the nations deceived that are on their way to a godless hell, then he says, how can I work on the Christians? I want to make them ineffective in their sphere of influence. They may be saved, they may go on their way to heaven, but I don't want them to operate in any of their God-given power. They may be going to heaven, but I want to have them bound up in ropes and not even realize it and go about in their life not totally free me because they believed some lies of who I am. Did you know that's what principalities and powers do? That's what they do. They hate God so much, and Satan over this, the morning star, remember we called him, and having these principalities and powers and having this structure that's all focused on destroying, to hurt God's heart, because what's the most precious thing to God on this earth? It's those that were made in his likeness and his image that he loves so much. You know, I used to be really kind of bummed that, Lord, why do I have to do all this battling, and why can't things be easier? That as I've grown in him and his love and how much he loves and cares for me, that I have more of this in my heart. How can I kick his can in my area of influence? I go from, man, this is hard, to, man, when are we going to get out of here? Saying, how can we whip some rear end of Satan? What he does with his Holy Spirit is he starts to stir you and say, I'm a warrior for him. How can I fight back. I'm not going to sit back because he's a defeated foe. How can I bring a mortal wound to his kingdom? So we go from, hey, hanging on to, when's he coming? To, man, all these battles, these things that are coming against me, to growing and maturing to him, to standing up and saying, hey, I am here. Bring it on, because I am more than a conqueror. Amen. Bring it on. I'm more than a conqueror. You're the defeated foe. You have the nations deceived. You have many people deceived. But I am no longer deceived at all. I know who you are. I've already read that it says it's going to take one angel to throw your carcass into the lake of fire. It's not going to take a legion of angels. It's going to take one angel. And as we said last week, remember when we were reading from the book of Isaiah, when they're going to look at Satan and said, is this the cat? Is this the dude that deceived the nations? Is this the dude that did all that damage? That I allowed myself to be snookered by that thing. There'll be some times when Jesus comes, we're going to say, my goodness, if I had only known my true authority, if I'd only known what he accomplished for me, I wouldn't have taken one more minute of his deceptive nonsense ways. Hallelujah. This says in Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Do you spend your time wrestling against a lot of flesh and blood? Amen. See, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers. There we go. Against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So we have that, remember, I think it's 2 Corinthians 12 where Paul says, hey, he's talking about this vision. He said, I don't know if I was in the body or outside the body, but I was caught up into the third heaven. So that third heaven being God's abode, heaven. That second heaven being like in space and the stars and that area. Does that make sense? That's the second heaven. The first heaven is from earth, the ground to earth, going to the clouds, the atmosphere of the earth. That's where Satan and his legion, that's where they dwell. There's not much for them to do in the stars, amen? I would think that if they were hanging out in the stars, it would be a reminder who created them. God made those stars for his glory. So they're focused here on earth against you and I. Amen? You agree with that? And so our battle isn't against the Democratic Party. Can I say that? Maybe I'm just speaking to myself. I've got to remind myself. So our battle isn't against the Democratic Party. We wrestle against what? Flesh and blood. Amen? It's Satan who has deceived the nations and the people. My battle isn't against the Democratic Party. It isn't against my difficult neighbor even. You ever had a difficult neighbor before? Me and Gina, we've been married. We've moved 23 times, so we've seen a little bit of everything. And sometimes you just know, this. What's wrong with this neighbor? And in how you deal with that and God's love and everything, what you can do there is a different story. But your focus isn't your difficult neighbor. It's against the deceiver of the nations, Satan. It's against him, but he's the one who's the deceiver. Amen? I mean, think if there's anybody that you might hate, if you hate somebody. Let me just say, every human being that God, they're deceived, and God would love for them to be undeceived, to come into the light as he is in the light. They'd love that shroud that it talks about in 2 Corinthians 4. He'd love that shroud to be removed, and they would come into the love of God. Amen? That's where his heart is, that ever he died. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever, are you glad you're a whosoever? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Hallelujah. Here's the good news as we begin, is we're this principalities and powers. Now myself, I can't fight that, can you? I'm flesh and blood. This is an ancient being. He's learned. He's had many years to hone his craft, hone in his craft, what he does, what he's best at, which is deceiving. He's got many, many different ways which he will deceive people. But the good thing for you, number three, is Jesus stripped the enemy of his power. Let me just say that again. Jesus stripped the enemy of his power. Okay, the enemy can come against me. I've come to realize I don't fear that, saying, Lord, he can come against me, but I have certain weapons of my warfare. Matter of fact, you've heard me say this before. If you're not bumping into the devil once in a while, you might be going the same direction. Right? So if the things are coming against you, amen. That means, to be honest, the enemy notices that. And God is saying, I'm giving you an opportunity to grow in me and to craft your spiritual weapons, how to hone in your craft of coming against the enemy and defeating him. So Jesus stripped the enemy of his power. It says in Colossians 2:15, in the Passion Translation, it says this, then Jesus, hear this is wonderful news, then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness. How many? All of them. Stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. Amen? And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner. They were his. When he died, maybe the enemy said, oh, that's it. If he was God, he was truly God, he would have got off that cross. Remember, we had the one guy on his right saying, if you're God, get us, you get down and get us down. And had all those down below there who were mocking him. Right to the end, they were mocking him and abusing him. If you're him, get off that cross. But God knowing, amen, not only was he going to shed his blood, but he was going to be in a grave. And it says in book of Ephesians that it took exceedingly great power, but God has an exceedingly great power to raise him from the dead. And because he was raised from the dead, I died to that old family portrait, the Adams family that I was born to, and I was raised into new life. And now I am a son, and you are a daughter, a son and daughter of Abraham, or joint heirs with Christ, and now we're victorious, and we belong to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus stripped the enemy of his power. Do you know so many people, this is what the enemy does. He tries to convince you and I, he's still got power against you. People will run in fear. Let me tell you this, the enemy has no more power over you if you are a born-again saint. He has no more power over you. Now, he can talk to your mind and says, well, that's not true. But what did Jesus do? We talked about the ifs last week. Remember the ifs? He would say, well, if you wouldn't have these struggles if you were really born again. Well, you look into the Word of God, you say, hey, the Word of God says that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So what you do is you take the Word of God, just like Jesus did, and you begin to speak to him saying, this is who God says I am. This is what the Word of God says I am. This is what the Word of God says that I'm a joint heir with Christ, that I am seated with him in heavenly places. Don't quite understand that yet, but the Word of God is showing me that. The Word of God is revealing that to me. So I am no longer going to believe that lie. And as you set your position of who you are in your authority, then those things that begin to push against you would begin to break off of your life. You look into the perfect law of liberty, as James says. The perfect law of liberty. The perfect law of liberty. Amen. Jesus stripped the enemy of his power. Acts 10:38. This is what the apostles were saying. This is how Jesus showed that he was over the enemy. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, this is when he was alive, and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. How many? Oppressed all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Did you know that same power that raised Christ Jesus dwells in you? Did you know that? It dwells in you. So what does God desire for you? He desires for us to walk free. You know, we have the enemy come against us, but he desires for us to walk free of all oppression and depression and those things from the enemy. Those things that have been rooted, deep-rooted in you maybe for decades, God's saying, that doesn't have to be in there. That can be uprooted. Start standing up for the truth. Start declaring the word of God, and God will uproot those things, and those things will not have an impact on you anymore. What did he say? Jesus said that his head, he said, hey, you'll be baptized. He said, you shall speak with new tongues. You shall heal the sick. Remember? So he gave us that same power that Jesus had, he gave to you and I. Did you know that? He says, the works that I do, you shall do, and greater works than these. Did you know that? So he anointed him, says he was oppressed by the devil. So he went about healing and all who were oppressed by the devil. You know, I was just reading that. These lies of the enemy. So we don't have it up here, but I'm just going to read this. And Luke 10 and Luke 13, talking about God's power and desire to deliver and set people free. Luke 13, 10 says, now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a disabling spirit, an evil spirit. Had a disabling spirit for how long? 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. This is how I look at it. This enemy was tormenting this devil, this spirit, was crippling her. So she was like this. So everywhere she'd go, she's like this. And it was like the enemy saying, there's no authority here. I have the authority. You may be a daughter of Abraham, but I have the authority. And so it was like the enemy saying, you're going to bow to me whether you want to or not. But when Jesus showed up on the scene, things began to change. He started to slowly to indicate what this new covenant, let's continue, what this new covenant would look like. A disabling spirit for 18 years, she was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, woman, you are freed from your disability. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. She glorified God. Let's continue. There's more here, though. But the rulers of the synagogue, the religious, amen? The religious, of course, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, there are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed. The blindness. See, that's the principalities and powers. They love to operate in religion. And misinterpret the word of God. They said, come on those days to be healed and not on the Sabbath day. And then the Lord answered him, you hypocrites. He told the religious leaders how it was, wasn't it? Then the Lord answered him, you hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? And then verse 16, and ought not this woman, look, it says a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced at all the glorious things that were done by him. You know, this is the thing we realize as the church, I'm probably not going to get there today. This is what puts the enemies to shame today. Is when God's power is displayed, not only saving somebody's soul, but setting them free. Laying hands on the sick that they recover, or those who've been bound by Satan, God setting them free. That humiliates the enemy because there wasn't a thing he could do about it. That's what it's talking about when he lost all his authority and all his power. While the religious leaders were blind and bound by religion, Jesus was setting the captives free. Lord, I thank you that as we come into a time, as spending time in prayer and seeking the Lord, I know the Lord is coming into a time where the church is going to say, you know what, enough is enough. Lord, we want to come into those things, those powers and those giftings again. We want to see the enemy once again humiliated as God's power is displayed in our area, in our earth, as God begins to save people, as he begins to heal people, as people who are believing lies about who they, the Satan convincing him, no, you're like you were still back in the day or whatever you might have done, when that's broken off of your life and you realize you're a brand new creation in Him, then you will be everything God has called you to be. This is what God's called you to be: walking in His joy, walking in His peace, walking in His strength, amen? Walking in your God-given abilities, walking with a little skip to your walk, knowing whose you are. That's what His will is. We think it's just all these mighty different things and exploits of power, and that's true, but He wants you to have a spirit of joy in your home. He wants you to carry that whistle and that song in your heart when you're at work, when you're looking at that bank account that's not like where it should be, that you have a whistle in your heart saying, God, I knew, telling the enemy, I know who I am in Christ, and I'm no longer going to carry those things. That's when we know we're walking according to what God would have for you and me. He's a good, good Father. As the wonderful piano player comes up, number four says, why do we still have evil on the earth if Satan is defeated? It's not God. He made the way for complete victory for you and your family. But God is still Satan is still the God of this world because he deceives people. And I don't know about you, but as I grow in him, I thank God. As I continue to say, Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes to the power of praying in the Holy Spirit. Open my eyes to the power of the gift of prophecy. Lord, open my eyes to these spiritual gifts that you've given us, Lord, that seem to have disappeared to a great extent in the American church. Lord, we thank you for afresh and anew pouring out those things that are weapons of our warfare to destroy the enemy. I love that part of Psalms 23 that he prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Just think of this, his bounty, his provision, amen, his strength, his peace, his joy, amen. Is there areas where the enemy's just kind of got you convinced otherwise, amen, that you need to say, no, today, Lord, thank you for breaking that off of my life. I'm going to believe in your ability over my life. Amen. Last week we talked about the ifs. I wanted to say this one more thing about how God displays his power. Okay, this is in the Bible. So where we get our answers in the Bible, right? Ephesians 3, 9 and 10. Talking about, this is Paul talking about his ministry. He says, and to bring the light, to bring to light for everyone that is in the... To bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God. Well, what's that mystery? That's the gospel. It wasn't revealed in the book of Isaiah. When Jesus rose from the grave, the new covenant was established, and then the power of the gospel that had been hidden for thousands of years all of a sudden was released in the new covenant, and the power of coming out of the Adams family, amen, and to the family of God was revealed. That's good news, amen? So it says that this mystery is hidden for ages in God who created all things. So how much has God created? All things. So let me ask you this. Who created the world? God. Who created the stars in the heavens? God. Who created all the planets? God. Who created all things? And this verse 10 is powerful. So that through the church, through who?
Us.
Through the church? Through weak me? To the guy that still makes mistakes? To the guy that has to be reminded a lot that, hey, I won't take that any further, right?
Yes.
Maybe you're married. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to who? To the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Every time somebody comes to Christ, the powers and authorities are reminded of what the cross accomplished. Every time somebody comes into truth and realizes that his blood washed all your sins away, it's a reminder to the authorities and power that the only power they have is deception, and they're reminded that they are powerless, that they're like a toothless lion. He may be a roaring, come like a roaring lion, but you, when you know who you are in Him, He's a toothless lion. When God heals your life, heals your marriage, it reminds the authorities and powers who God is. Amen. When you've been struggling with depression and you realize God breaks those lies off of you and you come out of it, it's a reminder of authorities and powers that He's the one in charge. He's the one that holds the keys to hell and death. Amen. So what He says through the church, as you and I are walking in our parts in the church, it's a constant reminder as we have this table of feast and His bounty in Christ Jesus, and the enemy has to sit there and watch you just take it in. Thank you, Jesus. Take it in His blessing. Take it in His peace. He's leading and guiding you. He wants to bless you in your finances as you trust Him. Amen. He wants to set you free from every area. He wants to heal bodies. As that begins to happen, the enemy cannot do a thing. Hey, the enemy can come against me, attack me, right? But as I grow in Christ, I know who it came from, and I know I must be doing the right thing, so I just keep, come on, bring it on. We're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. This is one thing, if we're fearful of the enemy's attacks, we are still under some type of delusion of the power that the enemy has that he does not have. Can you stand up with me? Amen. Are you thankful for the power and authority that He's given the believer? We're going to get deeper into that. But the purpose of today is realizing, amen, He has stripped the enemy of all his power. Do you believe that?
Yes, He has.
Not only do I believe it, but it gives me a great joy and strength to not only know that He's been stripped of His power, but I have been empowered to be an overcomer in Jesus Christ. Hey, can you lift your hands with me and say, Lord Jesus, thank You, I'm an overcomer. Thank You, Jesus, I'm an overcomer. Thank You for Your faithfulness. As we just take a second here, maybe you've walked away from the Lord. You know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, but you've been walking your own path. This is what I realize. This is as easy as it is, saying, Lord, I'm coming back home.
Amen.
Lord, I'm coming out of the lies and the deceptions. Lord, I'm realizing that only You can bring true joy and peace. Let me just say this, that if there's been areas where you just walked away from God, it's just saying, Lord, I'm home. Lord, forgive me of all my sins. Forgive me of those struggles. Forgive me, Lord, for this is what it comes down to. Lord, forgive me for believing the lies of a defeated foe, of a toothless lion, amen, of a principality and power that has been stripped of His power, and the only thing He has is His deception. And if you would do this with me and say, Lord, fill me afresh and anew with Your Holy Spirit. You just would you receive and say, Lord, fill me afresh and anew with Your Holy Spirit. Lord, stir my heart. Lord, stir my heart, Lord. Let me just say this. If that's you, it's not too late, man. He loves you. He knew the paths that you would take before you were ever born. He knew that you'd be coming home again. He knew that you'd finally say, the lies of the enemy have beat up on me. I'm tired of being beaten up. Lord, I'm coming back home. If that's you, you just say, Lord, thank You. I'm home. Lord, I'm home. Lord, thank You. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Let me just say this, too. We're going to talk more than this next week, but He's the God that heals bodies. We've had in our church in America specifically, we've had so many options that, and I'm raising my hand too, that I have options just to take this route, a pill, to do this or do that. But you know what I realized? When the enemy was stripped, when Jesus said he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the enemy, that gal that was hunched over, how many people do we have in this country, in our area, who actually have a spirit that's deceived them, that has crippled them, that Jesus wants to heal? Father, we thank you for your healing power right now in Jesus' name. Father, for those who may be struggling with back problems, we declare healing right now in Jesus' name. That if you believe that, raise your hand and say, Lord, I receive that. I receive that. That's the healing power of God. Say, I receive my healing in Jesus' name. Thank you for the manifested power of God in Jesus' name. Those who might have a blood disease, something you're dealing with your blood, declare over your life, I declare with you, that blood disease, I curse in Jesus' name, and I command it to go, and for that individual to be healed right now in Jesus' name. Father, we come against tumors, those things, tumors in people's bodies. Father, we curse those things. We command them to dry up and to go in Jesus' name. Whatever it is that you might be struggling or dealing with, start to declare over your life the things that you want God to do that belong to you as a child of God. Amen. As a child of God, thank you for breaking those lies off of us, Lord, that you don't operate in the power of the Holy Spirit anymore. Lord, you don't heal anymore. That we're left to just reading a Bible. And that's it. Lord, thank you for power. Lord, I thank you for talking to people in the daytime or the nighttime about the gifts and the things that you've placed within their lives, gifts and calling. Lord, thank you for a day in your hour in your church, Father God, of calling people forward and to the giftings and callings in their life in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for brand new joy in you, Father. Our hearts bubbling with joy in Jesus' name. Hearts bubbling with joy in Jesus' name. And that lying spirit, Father God, that's keep people, Father God, down. We break that thing off in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for releasing a spirit of joy. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for that we are more than conquerors, that you have not called us to compromise, but to conquer in Jesus' name. In Jesus. Lord, we love you. We praise you, Father. Stir the hearts of your people, Father, afresh and anew, Lord. May we, the status quo not be enough for your people anymore. Hallelujah. Thank you for anointing us. Thank you for strengthening us. Thank you for leading and guiding us. In the mighty name, the name that's above all names, the name that stripped every principality and power and demon of hell from every lick of power. We thank you that they're defeated. We thank you that his name, Jesus, is the name above all names. Thank you that Jesus is the name above all names. In the name of Jesus, cancers have to go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, Father, for those who were struggling and with sleeping. It's the Word of God says he gives his beloved sweet rest. What part of that is hard to understand? Lord, thank you for, we come against insomnia. Father, we come against insomnia, a spirit of insomnia. We come against a spirit of insomnia, and we break that thing off of people's lives in Jesus' name. That's you just receive. Say, Lord, I receive that. He gives his beloved sweet rest. We come against insomnia. We command it to go in Jesus' name. And we speak rest and peace and joy and confidence in our King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Do you love him? Do you love him? Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. If you need prayer, please come up. If not, the only thing I ask you to do is tomorrow, the very best day of the week, Monday, that you would enjoy your Monday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.